现在我们继续来看大雨伞这篇的文章。大雨伞的文章收在大雨伞这本书 The Big Umbrella， 现在已经是绝版的。我是从 Amazon 买到书，旧书很宝贵，旧的书很多是很重要的，新的书很多是不值得一看的。下面亚当斯向牧师跟基督徒做出五方面的呼吁、挑战、鼓励。第一 ，Number One，You have greater opportunities than you may think. 你比起你所想象的是有更多的机会，你是有大好的机会的。书里面是第九页到第十五页，我们的讲义是从第十一页开始。 There is a host of people who have been declared sick or not sick at all. 有一大堆的人被称为是有精神病，有病，事实上他们完全没有病。 they may be sick as a result of their poor behavior, of course. But I'm talking about the cause, not the result of their problem. 这句话需要费一点精神去思考。人们可能是因为他们行为很差，所以生病。但是我现在不是在讲他们行为的结果，我是在讲他们问题的成因。为什么他们病？ The cause is not sickness. 人们问题的原因不是生病。 The cause of the problem is that they have not been living as God says they should. 他们的问题的原因是没有按照上帝的话生活。 They are people with personal problems. That's what's wrong with them. 他们有一些个人的问题的，这个就是他们的问题。They have not been making it in life. They are not doing what God says they must do in one or more life situations. 不能够待人处事，因为他们没有按照上帝的话，在某一种情况里面，没有按照上帝的话来生活。我举个例，譬如说，假如有人说，是我的母亲伤害我的，那么他在这个情况里面发出的苦毒、怨恨的回应，本身就是在这个情况上没有按照上帝的话去做咯。 Therefore, there is a great opportunity for you to help those people, 牧师、基督徒，因此你有大好的机会去帮助这些人。 They are not getting much help through psychiatry. 他们从精神科医学院医学得到的帮助并不大。 The rate of recovery for psychoanalysis, 假如说是接受弗洛伊德的心理分析，他们的康复 的成功率 is precisely the same as the spontaneous remission rate, that is, the rate of recovery for those who did nothing about their problem at all. 他们的成功率和那些对自己的问题完全没有做什么事的，他们的成功率是完全一样。 The psychoanalysts have had a rate of success that is precisely the same as if they did nothing. 心理分析者他们的成功率和他们什么都不做的是完全一样的。 That's a pretty poor record. 这个的成绩是非常的差劲的。 Especially when people have spent millions of dollars on psychoanalysis. 特别是因为人们花上几百万，现在不止几亿万的美元去接受心理分析。 Can you, a minister of the gospel, do any worse? 你作为福音的传道人了，所做的肯定会比他更好，不会更差的。But more than that, 不仅如此， Let me remind you of the biblical commission to deal with even with people who are sick physically. 让我来提醒你一下，圣经差遣你对那些真正身体有病的人也有事情要做到。 They are not even exclusively within this physician's province. 有病的人也不仅仅是医生的专业而已。 In James chapter 5, 雅各书第五章， God put youand me squarely in the business of helping people who are sick because of sin. 上帝你把我放在帮助病人的工作里面，就是那些因为罪而生病的人。 He required the elders of the church to minister to such people. 上帝吩咐教会的长老们，包括牧师，要服侍这些人，要向他们做传道事工的。我多加一句话，执事也是一样。 They must help bring such peopleto the confession of sin. 我们必须带领这些人，帮助这些人 来认罪悔改。The acknowledgement of violations of the word of God. 他们要承认他们违背了上帝的话 followed by thorough repentance. 再加上彻底的悔改 leads to changes. 这样子生命会改变 that are in accordance with the word and subsequent healing from God. 这个就是符合圣经的改变也会符合后来上帝怎么医治他们的病的。Throughout scriptures, 圣经到处告诉我们 pastoral work is consistently helping people who are in trouble. 牧师的工作就是帮助人生有难题的人。It is true that all Christians are encouraged to participate in this kind of work. 是的，所有基督徒圣经都鼓励我们参与这项的事工。But par excellence, it is pastoral work. 但是这个是牧师最典型要做的事。那下面开始讲亚当斯开始讲保罗的典范保罗的榜样。In Colossians 1:28, Paul says, when he's summing up his whole ministry, we proclaim him, that is Christ, nothetically confronting every man and teaching every man with all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ. 保罗在哥罗西书第一章第二十八节这样来总结了他的作为传道者的工作的哥罗西书第一章二十八节我们传扬他是用诸般的智慧劝诫个人就是面责个人教导个人是要把个人在基督里完完全全的引到上帝的面前哥罗西书第一章二十八节 There are two sides to the work of the ministry 传道事工有两面A minister must first teach every man, and he must to confront every man nothetically. 牧师必须第一教导每个人，二必须面责或者是劝诫每一个人。Paul was a great teacher. 保罗是一个伟大的教师。We rightly think of him as such, for he was a tremendous teacher. 是的，我们这样看他是对的。他是一个伟大的、卓越的教师。He taught publicly from house to house, Acts 20:20.他在每一家公开的从事教导的《使徒行传》第二十章第二十节，《使徒行传》二十章二十节，凡与你们有益的，我没有一样避讳不说的，或在众人面前 publicly， 或在个人家里 from house to house， everywhere he went and all of the time。He taught, 他无论去什么地方每时每刻都在从事教导 He taught by means of letters 他写信教导人 He taught out on the streets 他在街上教导 He taught in the synagogues 他在犹太人的公会教导 He taught wherever he had the opportunity 每次有机会他就做教导 And when there was no opportunity he made one 若没有机会的话他就制造机会 He preached the gospel and taught the word of God 他传福音教导上帝的话 Yes, he was a preacher 是的 Yes, he was a teacher 是的他是一位教师 But he did other things too 但是还有做其他的事的 Teaching, he himself says was only half of his work 教导只不过是工作一半 The work that he mentions first 他首先提到的在哥罗西书第一章二十八节使徒行传第二十章二十节is nothetically confronting every man 就是劝诫面责劝诫个人 The coin of teaching has another side 教导好像一个铜币一个银币有另外一面的 On the flip side according to Paul is nothetic confrontation whatever that might mean 这个银币的另外一边就是面责劝诫 nothetic confrontationIn Acts 20 is recorded Paul's famous address to the Ephesian elders. 使徒行传第二十章记载着保罗很出名的向以弗所长老们所讲的临别的话。He urged the Ephesian elders to be on the alert. 他劝告以弗所的长老要警醒。Remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to nothetically confront each one of you,With tears, 使徒行传第二十章三十一节，所以你们应当警醒，纪念我三年之久，昼夜不断的流泪 劝诫就是面责你们个人的。31节 Note carefully these words. 注意保罗所说的话 Night and day, 昼夜 That involves a large slice of time. 花了很多时间不 For a period of 3 years, 三年之久 That represents the whole period that he remained in at Ephesus. 就是他在以弗所逗留的全部的时间 Paul spent more time in Ephesus than in any other city.保罗在以弗所花的时间是最久的。He may have stayed elsewhere for a longer time. 他可能在其他地方逗留得太久。这个是圣经所记载的最久的。And as far as the record goes, he was at Ephesus longer than anywhere else. 但是按照圣经的记载，他在以弗所逗留的时间是长过任何其他的城市的。Consequently, at Ephesus, his work was more pastoral than at other places. 所以他在以弗所扮演做牧者的工作是比在其他城市的是更重更多的。We usually think of Paul as a missionary. 我们一般想到他是一个宣教士 always on the move from one place to another. 跑来跑去哦。We picture as moving through Crete, stopping at this spot and that, leaving behind small groups of people as unorganized congregations. 他跑来跑去在各城组织了一些信徒成为所谓布道所还没有成型的教会。We read of his sending word back to Titus. 我们读到他写信去吩咐提多 to appoint elders and organize the churches, 去各处设立长老组织教会。Here is truly a man on the move. 是的，这个是一个跑来跑去的人。We may think of Paul on the move all of the time, and generally think that is an accurate picture.我们想他总是跑来跑去，这个大体上是准确的。But we must also take into account these 3 years where he labored as pastor. 但是必须要考虑到这三年保罗的劳碌是在做牧师的。That he could do an intensive pastoral work during a 3 year stay is easy for us to understand. 这个是我们很容易理解的。他三年之久做一个深入的牧养的工作 Since in many circles today a 3 year pastor is not at all uncommon 事实上今天牧养一个教会做三年了已经不是很罕见的事了 He says also I did not cease 第31节他也说不住的 I did not cease 我没有停止不住的 Adding these words to indicate that the notary activity was not confined merely to the first or second or third year他劝诫面责人的工作不仅仅限于第一年第二年第三年他不是某一个季节才做他不是只是在春天秋天才做 He did it continually throughout the whole length of the 3 year ministry 三年的事工里不断的在做 He might be engaged in such activities at almost every period of time on a given day of any year 所以每一年任何时候他就可能在做 Every day, night and day He did not cease to confront each one Nothetically with tears 每天昼夜他不住的没有停止流眼泪的面责劝诫个人 You can see Nothetic confrontation was a large part of Paul's ministry 所以你看到面责劝诫是保罗工作的很大的部分 NowI suppose I must tell you something about the biblical idea of nothetic confrontation. 那我想我必须告诉你面责劝诫 nothetic confrontation 这个概念的意思是什么 Fundamentally, it means this. 基本上劝诫的意义就是说 God using one man to confront another verbally about something that God wants changed.For the benefit of the individual. 劝诫的意思就是上帝用一个人讲话面责另外一个人关于一些上帝要改变的事都是为了这个人的好处。Many persons that God confronted doubtless were labeled mentally ill today. 保罗所面责的今天这些人都可能被称为有精神病的咯。Christian ministers must learn again to confront members of their congregation about the sin that lies at the root of many of The problems. 牧师们今天要重新学习怎么样、啊、当然用爱心来面责会友让他们面对他们很多问题根源的罪 They must learn again from the scriptures how to use direct verbal confrontation. 牧师们要重新学习怎么用直接的、用爱心说面责、劝诫的话。They of course must not do so apart from the power of the Holy Spirit working by His Word. 当然不可不靠圣灵，圣灵是用圣经来从事这个事工的，必须要依靠圣灵。Let us then see what God has said about nuthetic confrontation. 好了，现在我们来看 nuthesia 这个字，劝诫这个字是什么意思。Number one, 讲义的第十二页，书的第十二页，第一。There is something wrong in the counselee's life that God wants changed. 受辅导的人生命中有些东西不对劲，上帝是要改变这些事的。Known sin in the lives of the members of the church must not be winked at. 就是说不可以忽视会有生命中一些已经知道的罪。It is the responsibility of those who have ruled over the flock to lead the sheep in the path of righteousness. 负责治理羊群的有责任领他们走义路 as the great shepherd has directed. 这个是大牧人所指导的 that will often involve confronting them when they wander into the paths of unrighteousness. 当他们走迷路走到不义之路的时候就是需要面责他们了。第二这个字的第一个意思是有些问题了。第二 The change is attempted by the use of appropriate verbal means in personal confrontation. 怎么帮助人们改变就是用适当的话语个人的去劝诫面责。The idea of personal counseling is clear. 个别的辅导这个概念是很清楚的。The counselor does not attempt to change the person by manipulating him in some behavior fashion. 圣经辅导者不要好像行为主义者这样子了来操纵人好像操纵一个动物一样。But he does so by personal counseling. 他做的是人对人的辅导 by a verbal confrontation, 用话语来劝诫 by sitting down, talking through his problems with him, hopefully to reach biblical solutions to them.坐下来与他讨论他的问题直到他看到也采用圣经的解决的方案 He uses a verbal confrontation and a verbal methodology 他用的是讲话面责的方法 That is to say a counseling methodology 换言之用一个辅导的方法 Talk was ordained by God for the work of the ministry 讲话是上帝所指定的用来做传道事工的Yet it is talk of a specific sort. 不过是个特定的某一种的讲话。Nuthesia is plainly directive talk, directive counseling. 劝诫是一个指导性的辅导，指导性的讲话。It involves the application of biblical principles to concrete life situations. 面责劝诫 Nuthesia 就是要应用圣经的原则来处理具体的人生的难题。第三 The confrontation is in order to change the man for his own benefit, for his own welfare. 面责劝诫是为了这个人的好处，为了要改变他。There is the connotation of loving concern in this word. 这个字就有一种的爱心跟关怀的含义。下面亚当斯指出圣经不同的经文指出劝诫是在一个家庭的处境的譬如说哥林多前书四章第四节我的蒙爱的孩子们接着我们家后书三章十二节要好像弟兄与弟兄的这样子劝诫以弗所书第六章第四节教导父亲怎么养育劝勉孩子们所以这个字是有一个温馨 的含义关心对方就算在使徒行传第二十章三十一节保罗也是流泪的不住的劝诫的保罗是深深的投入到每一个生命中个别的注意他们 weeping with those who weep 与哭泣的人一同哭泣的 each one 个人不仅是在出现在使徒行传二十章也出现在哥罗西书一章二十八节的 The personalized concern and tears. 个别的关怀流泪 Show his love. 表达出保罗的爱心。Counseling must be done in love and love must be in the truth. 辅导必须用爱心。爱心是诚实的按照真理的爱心。约翰二书第一节约翰三书第一节。圣英文没有一个字可以表达 Nothesia 这个字全部的意思的中文也没有。所以咯亚当斯写书的时候就用这个字 Nothetic 他发明了一个英文字。陈若愚在翻译圣灵的劝诫第一版成功的辅导的时候也发明一个字努直达努力直接达到。所以结论是 You have greater opportunities than you may think.这里有一个大好的机会比你所想象的是一个更大的机会。You may open up the New Testament idea of Nothesia to your congregation. 你可以向你的会众解释劝诫这个字的意义。The very concept put into practice could make your ministry flower. 解释这个概念实行这个事工可以让你的事工开花结果。The possibilities and opportunities that nothetic activities offer for the edification of saints are as unlimited as the need is great. 面责劝诫为了造就圣徒们呢这种的可能性机会是无限的。正如这个需要就是好像无限的这么大。作为福音派的牧师你不可以避免这个工作。你要看到 Nothesia劝诫这个字含有一个很大的潜能潜力 Great change in the church of Christ for good can be brought about by developing fully all that God says about this aspect of the work for the ministry 我们若真的去发展出上帝所指定的圣工的这一部分这个层面的话会为教会带来很大的好处但是你可能会说But I'm not qualified. 我没有资格耶。I can't handle people in all sorts of difficulties that you're saying that I ought to be handling. 我不可能好像你这样讲的处理这么多困难的人的难题。That psychiatric umbrella isn't too big for me. I'm glad to see most of those people under that umbrella. 那个你所讲的那个精神科医学的大雨伞对我来说没有太大啊。我很高兴看到很多人站在那个雨伞之下。I'm glad to have someone to whom I can refer. 我可以转介给别人。我很高兴不 ？I'm thankful for psychiatrists and mental institutions. 我为精神科医生、精神医院感觉到感恩呢。I'm glad I don't have to handle the people. I can send on to them. 我不需要处理转介就是了。我很快乐。And not only that, think of the damage I might do if I try to counsel such people. 还有我，假如我尝试辅导这些人。可能我造成祸害 Why I might injure them for the rest of their lives 或者我可能终身的伤害了他们呢 Excuse me 对不起哦 I simply am not qualified 对不起我就是没有资格 Number two 第二 I want to assure you that you have greater qualifications than you may realize 我要向你保证你比你所知道的是更具资格的那这个是亚当斯要讲的第二段的鼓励的话在书里面是从第15页到19页我们的讲义只不过是摘录了第13页我们下一讲开始来讲 You are more qualified 你比你所想象的是更加的有资格的